Abram again and said, second promise, to your offspring I will give this land. Well, that was not the end of the story, of course. A famine occurs, and so Abram and Sarai move to Egypt, where they encounter even more challenges. Abram is afraid that once the Egyptian men see how beautiful Sarai is, his wife, that they will kill him. So he says to Sarai, pretend you're my sister. Well, that works for a while, but then Pharaoh finds out that this is a lie. Plagues come upon the house. Eventually, Sarai and Abraham are allowed to leave. And on their way, they are once again blessed with herds, flocks, tents, all they need in that order. So they move forward, and on the way, they pick up Abram's nephew, whose name is Lot. Well, God blesses them. Here's the third blessing. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot, and he divided the land that they had acquired, raise your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring. So I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. Rise up, walk through the length and the breadth of this land, for I will give it to you. So Abram once again moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at the Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Three promises, at least. Eventually, there was a rebellion whereby Abram's nephew Lot is taken, but Abram stands up for him, he enters into battle, he rescues Lot, and is blessed by King Melchizedek. So over and over, God's blessings come, God's promises come to Abram that he will indeed be the recipient of land, blessings, and offspring. And it's important that we hear this backdrop so that when we come to verse 1 in today's scripture, we know what is happening. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and God said, do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. Another promise. We wonder why Abram might have been afraid. Well, perhaps it was because he feared retaliation by the troops, by the battle that he just won. But whatever the case, God reassures Abram that he will protect him, that he will be his shield, and that he will reward him. But here's Abram thinking, what good would a great reward be if I have no one to share it with, if I have no one to leave it to? So Abram replies, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Lord, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But then God's response was, no, Abram, you've got it wrong. This man shall not be your heir, but someone from your very own body will be your heir. Trust me, believe in me, I promise. Well, at this point, I imagine, I don't know, but if I were Abram, I would be thinking, really, God? I've heard these promises time and time and again, over and over, land, children, blessings. When, Lord? I'm 75 already. Sarah's no spring chicken either. Her womb's been barren for all of her life. How is this going to work? Tell me, Lord, when, how? Well, then I have this vision of God taking Abram by the hand, and God shakes his head and leads him outside and says, Abram, look. Look toward heaven and count the stars if you can, because so shall your descendants be. And then we, of course, hear that Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Martin Luther says that this is one of the foremost passages in all of Scripture. For here, for the first time, faith is commended. And Paul, in his fourth chapter to the Romans, says that Abraham is the prime example of a believer. Because you see, Abraham had no proof that God would keep God's promises, but still he believed. And that is what made him righteous in the eyes of the Lord. For you and I, living in New Testament times, only our faith in God through Jesus Christ, because of what he has done and secured for us by the way of the cross in Jesus, makes us righteous. We cannot earn it. We cannot make it happen. It is ours. It is a gift, as faith itself is a gift that comes to us from hearing the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is that God calls each and every one of us to living a life of faith, trusting in God's promises, hearing God's invitation to go out and make a difference in the world, using the gifts and the talents that God has given to us. But I think sometimes it's hard to hear that call, isn't it? To believe that God is wanting us, is counting on us to go out and make that difference. I think sometimes it's our present-day experiences and God's promises, they don't always seem to be in alignment. They don't add up. As Abram found out, there can be lots of waiting involved, lots of it. And there are questions without immediate answers. We wonder if we indeed are hearing God's call or will for our lives, or is it someone else's? Really, God? Me? We ask, we doubt, we question, we fear, we make all kinds of excuses. Lord, I know that you promised to be with me always, to bless me and to love me, and I think you might be calling me to, you fill in the blank. But Lord, I also feel that someone else might be better at it than I am. That I'm not bright enough, smart enough, talented enough, young enough to do what you're asking me to do. What if I fail? Maybe now is not the right time. Of course, these responses are not new. I think of Moses called to be a leader and a spokesman, but he said, no, Lord, I don't think so. I don't speak too well. The prophet Isaiah said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips, not me. I'm not worthy, sin too much. I think of pregnant Elizabeth's response to Mary, who was also pregnant with Jesus. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, if we're not playing ourselves small, and that is Janet Carvenan Montgomery's phrase for that, for not claiming all God has made us to be, well, then others will help us out. When I finally discerned God's call to enter seminary, this is what I heard. You? Seminary? Some asked. Why would you want to do that? Especially now. Isn't it too late? You weren't even raised Lutheran, for Pete's sake. Now let's see, the cost of tuition versus the salary you'll make when you get out. Well, that's certainly not cost effective. Well, if you're going to be a pastor, then you just write and tell me about it. See you. When we look at our present limitations, real or imagined, self-imposed, or coming from the outside, we short-circuit God's plans and possibilities that God has for our lives. But when we dare to dream of what could be with God's help, when we discern God's call and only God's call, we begin to see our world and the world around us through a very, very different lens. Someone once said that if God calls you to it, God will see you through it. And I know for a fact that that's true. But so do others. I think of those who did hear God's call and stepped out in faith. Martin Luther, of course, who posted the 95 Theses, who challenged the Catholic Church to reform it, especially when it came to the interpretation and the understanding of knowing that we are saved by grace, not through faith, not by anything that we can do or fail to do. I think of Martin Luther King Jr., who declared, "I have a dream," of Rosa Parks, who refused to sit in the back of the bus so that all people would be treated equally with respect, regardless of the color of their skin. And then there's Dorothy Day and Mary Jo Copeland and Pastor Joy and Kay, who work at Open Hands Midway, making a difference in their lives. I think of my friend Tom Thietz, who has started Mano Amiga meal packing for not only people here, he's now involved the prisoners, involved in meal packing, changing their lives, and these meals go all over the world. I think of Tom and Carol Inslee, who are in the process of founding Granite House, who, after their sons, Aaron and Richard, were in a horrible car accident, one of them died. It was Richard who died. Aaron survived, but has the horrible brain damage. So as he is getting on in years, and as Tom and Carol are, they've wondered, and they were concerned about who would take care of not only their son, but others like him after they are no longer here. So on the shores of West Lakeland, Granite House is being erected. And there, the people will have all the care that they will ever need for their lifetimes, from doctors, nurses, therapists, social workers. Anything that they need, they will have in a beautiful home surrounded by nature. Well, the list goes on and on. We're familiar with the big names, but you know what? Your names and my name are on that list too. When someone once asked Mother Teresa how it was that she came to do such great things, she said, "I do not do great things. I do small things with great love." And I think that's what you and I are called to do as well. Abraham was called and chosen by God to be a great leader. His faith in God and in God's promises made him righteous. It wasn't the land or the blessings or the offspring. But eventually, God did fulfill his promise, and Abram, as we know, went on to have many, many descendants, as numerous as those stars. God never negates his promises. So when it comes to your own life of faith, during this next week, I'd like you to think about two questions. First, who has been a faith mentor or a role model in your own life? And if that person is alive, please reach out, tell them thank you, send them a card of note of thanks. Tell them, let them know the impact that they have had on you and your life. And secondly, think about, where is God calling you to step out of yourself, out of your comfort zone, and make a difference here and outside of these walls? What might that look like? I had only been here a few weeks when Pastor Pam announced that the staff would all be going to work at the Habitat House in St. Paul. I thought, I brought food to the workers before. That's my gift. I love to bake and cook. But never had I actually worked on the actual house. Now, I have to admit, I hate being hot and sweaty. So I had my reservations, but I knew I couldn't say no. Well, what I found out, that it was wonderful to come together, that I was blessed to be in this community of faith, working with others as we shoveled rocks in the hot sun, and as I learned how to fill nail holes for the first time. You can teach an old dog new tricks, and I happen to like it, and I might sign up to do another run besides. As I look to the future now, I'm excited about the Ling Bloomston Hub, who will soon be here. And I wonder, what role is God calling all of us to play as that beautiful ministry is launched? And then there's a calling of the third pastor. What might Redeemer Church look like when we open our minds and our hearts to the possibilities that exist, even when all three pastors might just be women? God's Spirit is alive and is active around and throughout this place. We know always that God's promises are true. God is faithful, and God only asks that we believe and return. As God reassured Abram, so God reassures us, and as a result, we have nothing to fear, but instead are called to place our trust in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Really, God, we ask? Yes, really, my children, says God. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.